It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Golf DMV on Federal News Network. That's 1500 AM on your radio dial if you're in the DMV. If you're not in the DMV, you can listen online at federalnewsnetwork.com. But I prefer, if you're going to go online, to go to golfdmvpodcast.com.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We need those clicks.
It's all about clicks at this point. That verse, that voice you just heard right there, that's Vern. Vern, what's up?
What's up? Jumping the gun. I'm sorry.
No. You're never jumping the gun. Always on time. And we've got LB in studio as well. LB, what's up?
Hello.
So we've got a ton of stuff to get to. No clue if we want to get to it all today, but we're going to try to. Number one, our buddy Aaron Holland did send in a course review, so we're going to play that for you a little bit later in the program. Not sure when, but we'll get to it this show. Okay. If there's anything we're definitely going to get to, it's going to be Aaron's review.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because he sent it in. He took the time to, you know, to write something up, and then he recorded the audio of it. And so, by the way, anyone listening right now, if you want to send in a course review, just, record it on your phone and email golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You know, we'll listen to it. And if you're good enough, we'll play it on the show.
Yeah, if it's not trash, we'll play it on
the
show.
And if it is trash, we'll let you know. This is garbage. You got to re-record this. And then you got to say, we're a lot, more nicer than that. Now, we've got Needwood to review. Mm-hmm. We've got a Waverly Woods update. The owner, Joe Hills, listened to the program and responded.
Clapping back at LB.
Exactly. He said he went, well, we'll tell you all about Joe Hills coming up. We got a PGA recap from the Houston Open. Also, Manny Williams update. Gosh, PGA Nine Bridges. LB just packed the content for today. Pro golfers practice versus amateurs. I really want to get to that. Kevin Na. It looks like LB. I don't know what this thing about Kevin Na is, but LB says Kevin Na ... add him to the pimp list.
Whoa.
I don't know what that means.
Kevin, yeah.
Yeah.
Not Kevin, nah. Kevin, yeah. That's pretty funny. And then Tiger's memoir, LPGA stuff, my golf drought. And then there's an article in Golf Digest that I want to talk about a little bit about as far as getting back on track. This kid, Max Homa, talked a little bit about how he lost his PGA card in 2017.
Okay. Right.
Got it back in 2019 and was able to win a tournament. And he's talking about just how he changed things up. And he said most of it was before he changed anything in his swing, before he practiced anything, it was all mental.
Really? Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. All between your ears.
We'll get back to that in a second. But first of all, it is knit hat season in the DMV and all over the country. Don't LB, by the way, has his. It was snowing all across like the Midwest and all the other, you know what I mean?
Got like record snow, I think, in Colorado.
Yeah, in Colorado and in Montana. Wyoming. Yeah.
Did you see the kids? There was this one of the, somewhere out net part of the country, they were doing their state golf championship,
right?
And it snowed, and they did not cancel.
Right,
they were out there. You saw that.
I saw one kid was like trying to wipe the snow off the greens.
Right,
snow.
Yes, they played through. They sure did.
Oh wow!
Right,
no excuses. Coming,
right. We're all in the same element here, so it's even.
Exactly. So if you're in Montana, or if you're in Colorado, or even if you're in the DMV, and it's getting cold, you need these knit hats. GolfDMVPodcast.com. Yep. They're $10. We've got black and blue.
Mm-hmm.
Get both of them.
They're nice hats.
Yeah.
They're very warm.
They'll keep
They're almost too warm.
Yeah.
They really are warm.
Yeah. Right. I remember last season I was playing. I said, I almost want to take this off, but it looks so cool. I didn't.
Right.
So I just want to continue. And $10 to get your hat, GolfDMVPodcast.com.
Well, summer shirt for 20. 15?
Yeah, we've got the polo shirts up there. That
we got to know that price, though. Yeah, 20 bucks.
We've got light blue, we've got green, and we've got purple.
No, it's light blue, purple, and
maroon.
Yeah, burgundy. It's maroon, burgundy.
All the standard colors you get when you go to Golf Galaxy. You guys got maroon?
Oh, yeah, we got plenty of those right here. Right this way, sir.
Buy a shirt.
Buy the shirt. Let's jump right in. Needwood. You guys played Needwood last weekend.
Yes.
And I don't think we reviewed Needwood at all this year, right?
No. Because
in the last 2 years.
Yeah, because we never go there. For whatever reason, we just never go.
Yeah. I never played it. That was my first time playing.
That's Rockville, correct?
Is it considered Rockville?
No, I think that's
Gaithersburg.
Yeah, that's inside. That's not
It's right by Shady Grove Metro.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just a few. Yeah.
Right on 97, right? Yeah.
No, well, you can go that way and then get off on the other road, another road,
You could take 200 to like Shady Grove Road, and it's not too far from that Gaithersburg Road. And,
yeah, it's over that way.
Ways on the Golf Day
Redland Road, off between Redland and Crabs Branch Way over that way. Right. And at the, if you know where Shady Grove Metro is, you're close.
It's near there. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We should try to get Waze as a sponsor. I mean, we're doing directions and stuff.
We do it a lot.
Yeah, you know, we do that a lot. We should try to. Okay, yeah. Well, anyway. Right. Needwood, our thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, our thoughts, I mean your thoughts. Let me get this out the way. I'm in a golf drought right now. Like the last time I played was...
In Hawaii.
September 19th was the date, to be exact. Shout out 83.
Shout out 83.
Last time I touched the club. And it was not a legit 83. I mean, it was probably closer to like an 87, 86. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But on the scorecard, it's
92.
96. You know, 83.
So it's been about a month for you. Then.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly.
I'm going to get out this weekend.
I haven't hit a driving range or anything. Oh, I haven't even putted it in the house.
Busy, just cranking.
Yeah, I've been working a lot.
Making that dollar.
Yep.
Yeah, cheddar.
Trying. I mean, we went to Hawaii, so no, anyway.
Yeah, you got to make up for that. Needwood. So it was me, Vern, Rick McCormick, of which I have a picture of him on Instagram. Please go look at that.
Yeah.
Reggie.
Reggie Reynolds, yeah.
Reggie Reynolds, Aaron Holland, and his buddy Troy. Yeah. They came up from Fredericksburg.
Yep.
And Reggie got stood up again by... last time, the other guy stood him up.
Oh, yeah.
And when we played Renditions.
Frank.
No, that wasn't Renditions. Somewhere else we played.
No, it was 1757.
It was 1757. He played with us at Renditions.
Yeah, he played with us at Renditions, and then Manny didn't show up. And then Frank was set to come out, and he didn't come.
He didn't come, right. So we ended up with seven. Everybody seemed to like the course. Aaron will have his... Is he Aaron reviewing Knee? Or is he reviewing...
He's reviewing Laurel Hills.
Laurel Hills, that's right. Laurel Hills. Yeah, Neewa, it is a Montgomery County course. It's a Montgomery County course. I mean, it's in good shape. I thought it was in good shape. Burr may agree or disagree. I thought the greens were big.
Right.
That they really had really good size greens.
To my advantage.
Right. Yeah, we still missed them, but they were big. Mm-hmm. Let me phrase it. I still missed them. Yeah. they were big.
They tried their best to get
them. It was in good shape. Nothing spectacular about it as far as the layout, I remember.
Right.
Most of them was pretty straight.
So here's what I'll say about Needwood. I think it's the new warm up course to go along with Falls Road.
Okay. Better than Falls Road or
better than Falls Road. Mm-hmm. Falls Road has, but it goes in the same category of like, hey, I need this one is like really like, hey, I need to feel good about golf again. I need something to dominate.
Yeah.
Go to Needwood. It's short. I lost one ball and I had a lot of errant drives, but I only lost one ball because it's pretty much a sort of like link style, I guess, everything's connected. So you can, you know, miss the fairway and hit from the other fairway and still make the green. So friendly, short, in great shape, as you would expect from a Montgomery County course. But
how was the cost? Low cost?
Mid-60s, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
and that was a weekend morning.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah,
but great shape. But that's the one defining thing that I remember, Claude. Is just that I was like, a tune up. Yeah, no crazy features or anything like that. But still fun to play. Good tune up course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I will go back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you will go back if someone's coming from the outside of the DMV.
No.
Would you? Okay. No.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
If someone who lives in the DMV, would you recommend that they go play?
Yeah.
Yeah,
if you need a warm up.
Yeah, yeah. I specifically told Glenn. I was like, he should. I think it's only like 45 minutes from Baltimore from him. Mm-hmm. He should check that one out. And then so we added it to the list with Falls
Road. It's definitely not as open as Falls Road though.
Okay,
Falls Road is definitely, I think, a little easier than Needwood.
You think so?
Yeah, because of there was more trees. There's more trees
on the back.
Yeah, on Needwood than there is on Falls Road.
Okay,
I thought. But yeah. I agree. I would put them in the same kind of category. Like with Laytonville. I mean, the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Laytonville, Needwood, Falls Road.
Short, plays easy.
Right. Even Rye, I'm trying to think Rattlewood could fit in that a little bit.
Yeah, we haven't played there this year, have we?
I haven't.
That's the one that starts out as pretty much a straight par four in the first hole?
I think it's a par five straight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. How'd you guys play? Because last week, LB,
I went to the lessons.
But you had to get lessons with Brendan.
Yeah.
How'd that turn out? First round post lessons?
That was the first round post lessons. Okay. Some improvements. Obviously, I still need to practice. I played today, and I played better than I played at Needwood.
Okay.
So it's starting to come into to focus, as they say.
Okay. So you felt better leaving Needwood than you felt in a while.
Oh, absolutely. And I felt better today leaving Hampshire Green than I did leaving Needwood.
Okay. So what seems to be turning around? Like what's
irons. Okay. The iron play is better now. It started off a little funky, cuz I hit a couple like they shanks basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then I went back, you know, instead of doing, you know, how you, I said, we said this last week, he give you five steps, you get comfortable, and then you only do four.
Right. That's right.
And then you do three. Well, I think I went to two or something early in the round. And then I said, okay, and I went back to five and started all over again. And then it started coming into shape. I ended up shooting 92 today, and I had a plus three and a plus three consecutively on 17 and 18.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this is going to be a sub 90 round.
Yeah, I was 44 on the front. So I felt pretty good. I felt pretty good. So, yeah, it's coming into focus. My drives have been really well since the lesson with Brendan. My drives have been really good.
He was really driving it well at Evo.
At Evo, okay. Yeah. Okay. The drive, whatever he changed, translated very well to the driver. Not as much to the irons, but the driver is almost money now.
Right, right.
But my 7-iron and stuff like that sometimes can get squirrely.
Okay.
But it's coming into focus.
So things are back on track.
Oh, yeah. I can see the light. Upward. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
There you go.
Now, Ron, you weren't too concerned about your game last week. I mean, you know, not anything
nothing
beyond.
Nothing major. Yeah, just still working on some of the same stuff, trying to get, you know, a descending blows and impact, all that stuff. So you need wood. Needwood played okay for me, about average. I think I did a par 70, 71?
It's a 70.
I shot 17 plus, basically.
Okay. So
it's an 89, I guess, equivalent or whatever. So, good, you know, good, okay round.
You played today as well.
At Pendleton. Okay, today was better.
We're going to get to that. LB had mentioned Hampshire Green. Who was with you today?
Today at Hampshire Green was me, Reggie Reynolds, Alan, a buddy from San Diego,
who's in town. Old Al Beta.
Yeah.
Sounds like a weatherman.
Yeah, when I first saw him, he said, "I'm sorry, I brought the cold weather," or something like, "Oh, why you have this cold weather?" Something about the weather, I forget, because he had just come from Florida.
Right,
he had spent a couple weeks in Florida. He was in town because his daughter just had hip surgery.
Oh, okay.
So he came up to help take care of her. But he ended up playing this guy named Young. Mm-hmm. Young. Well, I was gonna say young fellow, but his last name is Young, but he's 72 years old.
Okay,
so he was our fourth. The fourth we had.
Nice. How did everyone? How did it go?
Everybody. They were pretty good, actually. Okay. I was about to say for old guys.
Yeah,
but that's, which is
young
for a bunch of old people.
Incorrect. Yeah. But they, you know how we always talk about this when. You see, we play a lot of women sometimes that'll do this. They don't hit the ball far, but they hit it straight.
Right.
Yep. And that's where Young and pretty Al was pretty much the same way. They don't hit them very far, but they hit them straight.
Right. They're not losing a lot of balls.
No. They're always in the middle of the fairway. They just might be 50 yards behind you, but they in the middle of the fairway.
Hampshire was still looking good?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The greens were very fast, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it that way the last time we were there?
Yeah. Yes. I think they had a bad pin placement for the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was tucked. Well, this time it wasn't tucked, but the greens were very, to the point where we were missing. I mean, I probably had five putts that missed within like a quarter inch. Mm. And you see it going to the hole, and everybody's expected to fall in. And it just somehow doesn't. It just goes right past it. And they were like, how did that not fall?
Yeah. Skipping past the edges.
A bunch of those today. But the greens were very fast. Very fast today.
Right. And so, Vern, you went to Pendleton with Glenn.
Me and Glenn met up at my house, drove down to Pendleton, hit with Charles and Pops, coach, I guess. Did pretty well. I did. I just shot an 86 there. Mm-hmm. So not
nice.
Not too bad. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Charles played. I thought it was.
Coach had to go to New York for something. So Charles subbed in for him.
Did he have his Windex with him?
I did not see the Windex. I did not see the Windex. I tried to get him to drink some cider with whiskey in it, but he turned me down on that too. See if he would turn up. But he said no. So
could you imagine Charles turned up?
I could not.
Well, maybe we don't want to see Charles turned up.
He wakes up that way. It was a good round. I think everything was. Our driver was a little squirrely. It could have been lower, but the irons were money today. The pitching wedge, specifically, I think. Coming in, you said you finished with 3-3-3. I think I finished like par, bogey, par, par, par.
Nice. Okay.
Just because of I was leaving like 135 out, took the pitching wedge, just smoking right on the green. Okay. And missing the birdie putts, of course. Four or 5 feet.
So. That's how you close out. And how is Glenn's game coming along?
Glenn's game is coming along pretty well. I think Waverly was really good, was really good for him or whatever. But didn't play as well today as he'd liked, but I will say, you know, like he said last time, like he's only been playing for what, two,
yeah,
two, you know, mm-hmm. since the middle not of the long. Summer, not right. long. Yeah, so he's made a tremendous improvement.
Nice. Give him. How did he like playing at a course where there was wasn't going to be any fighting? As opposed to the Boston West City course.
Almost. We hit Charles accidentally hit into the group. It was an accident because I guess it's one of those things where they disappear over the hill with the cart. They disappeared like literally like right to the other side of the hill.
Yeah.
So he drove and then the cart just popped right back up on the hill immediately.
Okay.
Just to signal that, hey, we're still here.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the guy was cool. He was apologetic after he said they were moving slow in front of him. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So well, one day we're going to get get Glenn out there on a round where he doesn't have to fight anybody. Let's move on to another course review. We got Aaron Holland, our buddy Fredericksburg, right?
Yep.
And you guys have played twice with Aaron.
Three times.
Good night.
Yeah. No, 1757, Lake Presidential.
Yep.
And Niebla. So this is our third time. Yeah.
I've been inactive. Mm-hmm. Aaron, I got to apologize. But to make it up,
I'm going
to
say, where's Claude?
Yeah, he called you out. Claude
yet. I'm like a, I'm a invisible figure. I don't really exist, Aaron. but he's the guy for a course review. He played Laurel Hills. And we'll play that one for you guys right now.
Okay, Claude, LB, and Vern, Golf DMV Podcast. This is my review for the Laurel Hill Golf Course in Lorton, Virginia. I played yesterday, October 14th, with a group that included my friend Troy and some people from his job. The course is very nice, very difficult, very scenic. It's on the site of what used to be a prison. And it's a beautiful golf course. We played from the white tees at 6,386 yards. Big, huge greens, rolling fairways. Not that much carry, a lot of elevation on the course, a lot of uphill tee shots. No water on the course, but lots of bunkers. Lots of bunkers, bunkers sort of deep, some not too deep, but very, very big bunkers. The fairways were in excellent condition. The greens, of course, like I said, they were very nice. They were in excellent condition also. Pretty quick. I would say a little quicker than when I played at Blue Mash a few weeks ago. I don't know what my friend shot. I think 105, 106. I shot 84. Had a very good day. Made a lot of good up and downs. I did have one birdie, par three from, 170 some yards, hit it to about 10 feet downhill slider putt. I made it. I would definitely recommend, I know it's a long way for you guys to come, but it's right off of 95, not quite in Woodbridge, probably one or two exits north of Woodbridge, but, I would recommend. Very nice course. It was $88 to play. Range balls were included. I know that's always important to you all. If a course is going to charge over $50, they should throw in range balls, and they did. Very nice driving range. They had a putting green and a separate pitch and chipping green with a sand bunker. So the practice facility was very nice. Clubhouse was nice. Fully stocked clubhouse, of course. Everything was overpriced in there. We did not stay and eat, but they had a patio out back where you could sit, something like Lake Presidential. But that concludes my review of Laurel Hill Golf Course. And like I said, I would recommend that when you all get a chance, when you can make it down here south, you should come play it.
All right, there we have it. All
cool.
Right. Aaron, I got to get out to hit with
Aaron. Yeah, you
do. Yeah.
I mean, I got to get out of here with you guys. Aaron and whoever, and also Coach and Charles, everybody else. I mean, we'll work it out, figure it out. Good. So, yeah, again, if you want to send in your course reviews, golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com. That's the email address. Feel free to do that. Real quick, let's recap this whole the Houston Open in the moments we've got left. So Houston Open, PGA Tour, LB, what you got?
Okay, Houston Open was won by Lanto Griffin. Ever heard of him?
On the Golf Channel this week when they were talking about the winner of the
Houston Open. Yeah, so he won. It was his first win on tour. He has no second place, no third place. It's just that one win. He is originally from – I didn't know who he was, so I looked him up a little bit. He plays from Blacksburg, Virginia, which is a little odd. Odd in the sense that it's Blacksburg, Virginia. I mean, that's like a golf mecca.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But did, so let me back a little bit more. The Houston Open itself was, what did I say about this tournament? There was nobody there.
Okay.
I mean, it really was. On the 18th, I watched a little bit of it because I'm stupid like that. there was nobody there. I mean, the gallery was so thin.
Yeah.
On the 18th hole, it was like two people deep.
Wow.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It was nobody there. Yeah. There were times when they would show people on the course playing.
Right.
And they would just, it was like us playing. I mean, right. You see the person in the woods and the trees.
Just to get no gallery.
No gallery at all. Like lying in the fairways or walking beside them, there was nobody there.
That's funny.
So, yeah, but he won $1.35 million. So you can't be mad enough for that.
Not bad.
Like I say, he plays from Blacksburg. He went to VCU. It was a graduate in 2010, a marketing major. He's 6'3", 190, 31 years old. Turned pro in 2010. So like I say, that was his first win. Career-wise, so he won 1.3 on that tournament.
Mm-hmm. Right.
His career is 2.1.
Oh, wow. So that was a big payday for him.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was more than half of what he's made in the 9 years he's been pro.
Good night.
I did look up his name, but it's kind of long because I was like Lanto. That's kind of an odd name.
Mm-hmm. Lando.
Yeah, Lanto.
Lanto.
It, yeah, L-A-N-T-O.
Oh, not Calrissian.
Right. 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 So the one couple things I did look up. So he was, his parents apparently, and I didn't say this, the guy on Golf Channel, I did hear this part. He said, well, you name Lanto when your parents are hippies.
Oh,
oh,
that's
wow.
That's what the guy on Golf Channel
going right
said.
Going right at it.
Who's that at? Chambly?
The guy, you know, I think it's the Morning Drive.
Oh, okay. All right.
The one guy's got like a little piece of gray hair in the middle of his.
Yeah.
That guy. I don't know his name. I think
Gary Williams?
No.
Oh.
No. I don't know what his name is.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of him.
We don't need to know his name.
Yeah, him. Yeah. but he's so, the Lanto actually is a.
Robert Dameron is the guy you're talking about.
Okay. Whatever his name is. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was named after a spiritual master. A spiritual master.
Okay. Right.
So I looked, I got a whole sheet here, but it was too much to go into. Okay. So I was like, well, okay, what does that mean? So
Lanto.
Lanto.
Mm-hmm.
So actually was a, it's not like a spirit person. It's a real person.
Right.
So it's a real person who actually like sat at the foot of some other spiritual person.
Like a Buddha thing or something?
Yeah, kind of. But it's like a place way out west and you go up in the hills. I don't want to call it a cult. But it kind of seems like it could be something like that. Right.
Right.
It's a whole, if you want to read it, I got a whole bunch of information on it, but it was too much for me to comprehend. All I know was, so Lanto, he was named.
Is he a person of the Lanto? Like, does he believe in that or he's just named after
So it? There's a, see, you ask, keep asking questions. I'm going to have to pull my sheets out. But they were talking about how you, the one guy has the, here he goes. So having studied under Lord Himalaya and gained the mastery in the retreat of the Blue Lotus, Lord Lanto elected to use the yellow plume to enfold the hearts of all mankind. He is dedicated to the perfectionment of the evolutions of this planet through cosmic Christ illumination.
Wow.
The golden flame that he bears is charged with the momentum of God, victory for the youth of the world.
Pass that blunt.
Yeah, I feel victorious. I feel illuminated, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I said, it's a whole bunch of stuff. I was like, okay, they went way deep on that one.
Yeah.
So, but that's where he got his name from. Just, hey, wow. So then he got
Erykah Badu once said it in a song, what good do your words do if they can't understand you?
Seriously.
I have no clue what
this means. When the yellow flower crushes on the sunset, Lanto will build the mountain. I mean, that's wild, bro.
Like, what are you saying? What does it mean?
Yeah, but you know,
it's all love. Whatever. That's what you do.
Hey,
you
congrats on your win.
Congrats on your win. $1.3 million.
Yeah,
exactly.
Don't spend it all in one spot.
Yeah, so let's do this whole Manny Millions. For those who are new to the show, the Manny Millions got a son. He loves golf. I don't want to put pressure on him to be successful. Or, you know, I don't want to be one of those Hollywood parents. They're like, listen, make it to the tour, son. You don't have to win anything. Just finish in last place.
Yeah, right.
Just make the cut. We said if you make the cut in every tournament and finish in last place, mm-hmm. you can make over $600,000 a year mm-hmm. playing golf, which is great. And so now we can just keep track of who's the last place finisher, mm-hmm. or as we call them, the last place winner or the first place loser.
Yes. Or however you want to look at that.
Yeah. Glass half full, glass half empty.
Person. Right. And it's a way for us to learn some new players.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy is not really new player. He's been around for a minute. So this is Bill Haas.
Oh, yeah. We know that name, right? He finished at plus 10. He won $14,325.
From what most people say, I mean, it's like given his pedigree, he hasn't really lived up to the potential that most people thought he would in
his career. They were expecting more from Billy Haas. Yeah.
Well, we'll get to I was surprised at some of these numbers, so we'll get to them. So Bill Haas, 6 foot two, 185 pounds, 37 years old. Married to Rugrats. He was a graduate of Wake Forest.
Okay, Demon Deacons, ACC.
Mm-hmm. But now think of that. Demon Deacons, in 2004 he graduated, and he was a religious studies major.
Really? Oh. At Wake Forest?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they
have
religious studies
there. Yeah. So born in
Charlottesville. As if I'm an expert on what college is all, you know. Okay. I don't even know why I said that.
Right. So he's born in Charlotte. He lives in Greenville, South Carolina now. Turned pro in 2004. Here's the guessing game. Guess how much his career earnings. He has 6 wins on the tour, 5 second place finishes, 5 third place finishes, and 57 top tens.
Wow.
57 top tens.
Wow.
In 392 events, he's made 277 cuts.
Oh
wow!
Yeah, I was surprised too when I saw his winnings and stuff. So
I'm gonna go high.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go $57 million.
Okay.
Seems more high. I'm gonna go
seems more high.
Yeah, I'm gonna go like 22.
Okay. In that case, Vern will win 30.
Yeah. Okay. I'll shout.
Oh,
30 million.
I told you he was an underachiever.
So he's the son of Jay Haas, who was a PGA player and a Champion Tour player. His uncle Jerry was a PGA player in the 90s, and he is also the head coach at Wake Forest. Wonder how that works out.
I want to see his high school grades. Yeah. Old Billy, how'd he get into Wake Forest? Because they got the whole college cheating scandal stuff. He legit plays golf, though, so I guess
he could. And so his great uncle is Bob Golby, who won the 1968 Masters. So he's got golf in his blood.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's enough about Bill. So the name Haas, though, made me think of the guy Phil Haas.
From Better Golf, DMV. He had a radio show.
Yeah, I looked him up because his shop closed down years ago.
Did it?
But I was wondering if they were related. But I couldn't find. I did Google it for a little while. I couldn't find anything. To confirm. But okay. So that's stuff for many millions.
There we go. Mm-hmm. And there's the many millions for this week, folks. Man, I'm trying to tell you, I'm in a golf drought, and I've got to break out of it in a week. Like I haven't picked up a club. I brought my bags in from the car, my golf bag in from the car,
right,
and moved it to the living room, and then down to the basement. I haven't even cleaned the clubs, so I'm in a bad place golf wise. But I'll get out of it and work it all out. Try to figure that all out. So coming up after the top of the hour, we've got more stuff, some PGA stuff, LPGA stuff. We got to figure out what this whole thing with Kevin Na. And I read an article about Max Homa. And he talked about how he was in a bad place in golf, but he turned things around, and it had very little to do with what he did on the course. We'll have more of that coming up next. Radio listeners, you got top of the hour news, podcast people, you're going to hear some ads, namely LB trying to get some money from you. It's Golf DMV.
Hi, this is LB from Golf DMV. Have you thought about advertising your business? Well, consider us as your cost-effective advertising solution. We offer a variety of options and terms to meet your needs. Contact us at golfdmvpodcast.com for more information.
It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
All right, it is the second half hour of Golf DMV on Federal News Network, 1500 a.m. in the DMV, all over the place on golfdmvpodcast.com. It is hat season. Feel free to purchase one of those hats. Keep your ears warm. Keep your head warm. All that stuff.
Keep our pockets fat.
Exactly. Exactly.
You mean get our pockets fat.
Yeah. Speaking of fat pockets and things going on, there may be an opportunity to travel with Golf DMV. We'll let you guys know about that later. It may happen. It may not.
Okay.
But we'll see what happens.
Yes.
LB's looking like, what are we talking about? We'll see what happens. I don't know. So we wanted a lot of stuff to get to, but we were having this conversation in between segments about our buddy Rick McCormick and the picture that you had posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about this. And you talked to Rick. He knows we're going to talk about it.
Oh, right. Yeah. I told him. Oh, yeah. Because I took the picture.
Fry him up for this.
Several times during that day. Okay. He let him know.
Let me start this by saying to one of our Instagram followers, Mr. or Mrs. Walking MD Golf,
That was not LB's. That is not my device on the or that's in the picture. I took the pictures, but that is not me.
All right. Well, for some context, LB, what are we talking about? Like,
So one of our regular, semi-regular playing partners, and I will call his name now, Mr. Rick McCormick.
Right.
That is Rick almost poop his pants McCormick.
Okay.
That was the radio version of what I wanted to say. Uh-huh. He showed up on our round at Needwood with this device. And it's on our Instagram page. You all can go see that. When you see it, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
You can find us Golf DMV podcast on Instagram.
Yes, on Instagram. So it's basically what you call it? It's like a fork that you stick in the ground, mm-hmm. and you lean your club up against it, so you don't lay your club down.
It looks
around.
Like something like my grandmother has in like her garden to right. like hold up a plant.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what exactly. I mean? Something right. like that, right?
Basically, it's
right.
just a wire hanger to keep your to keep your the club grip elevated so it doesn't get wet. So right. his hands don't get wet and cold.
Right. Right. So when he pulled this thing, I was like, right. "What is that?" He said, "Oh man, I got this. I think this is a good idea."
Yeah, you stick it in the ground, right?
Right,
and you lean your club up and you sit upright. Got
yes.
it.
Did he tell you how much he paid for that?
I think he said somewhere it was less than 20, more than 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then I said, so I said.
He still hasn't paid for his Golf DMV hat. But anyway, go ahead.
You're right.
More, yeah. exactly. more than 10.
Right.
I mean, you could do this with like a coat hanger.
Right. Exactly.
He basically bought a coat hanger to put his golf club on. Okay.
So I said, Rick, I said, they have these things. And actually, you have one. I pointed to his back. He looked at me inquisitive, like, what are you talking about?
Right.
I said, it's called a towel. Mm-hmm.
Put it around the club
and you lay it down. You lay your grip part in the towel. That's what I do all the time.
Right.
And you can use the towel also to clean your ball off and to clean your clubs. Mm-hmm. It has multiple purposes.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Great value.
Right.
Great value.
I was like, dude, you kidding me? I said, this will be, I'm fine with you using this if you have, like, you got an injury. You can't bend over.
A back issue or something.
Yeah, but I could. That's why I put his picture up there too. So at one point I said, "Kimmy, I need you to come stand next to this thing so I can take your picture."
Yeah.
He said, "I'm not staying over there." I said, "Well, I took your picture anyway."
Yeah.
So you might as well just come.
It was such a beginner kind of move.
Yeah. He was always. I was immediately ashamed of his decision to buy a wire metal hanger to stick in the ground to keep his grip from getting wet and his hands from being cold.
And this is what friends are for, to let you know when you make bad decisions. Like, we'll never abandon Rick.
Oh, not at all.
We'll never abandon him. It's just that we have to let him know that this was a bad move.
Rick is good for comic relief. That's if nothing else.
Now, here's my theory behind why he purchased this, like the actual reason behind it.
Okay.
Now, you guys have been playing with Rick for years. With this year excluded, when was the last time you remember Rick buying clubs? New clubs?
Not since I've known him.
I've known him, he's had the same set.
Clubs.
Yeah. When was the last time you remember Rick, again, excluding this year, buying a bag?
None.
Excluding this year, yeah, none.
Yeah.
This year, what did Rick get?
Well, he got new clubs and new bag.
Yeah.
Well, because his wife ran over his old stuff. That's how he ended up getting new stuff.
But yeah. The first round I played with Rick after he got his new clubs.
Right.
16 out of the 18 holes, he would talk to me about those new clubs. It's all he wanted to talk about.
Right, he was excited.
Which is great because we're all excited about that kind of stuff. Yep, right? And it's been a long time. So he had years and years and
it's
years.
It's a big deal for him.
Gotcha. You know, some of us have gotten clubs more frequently than Rick. And so we don't talk about it as much. You know what I mean?
Right.
And here's my thing. I didn't even ask him about the clubs. He just offered like how he felt about them.
So Claude, did you see the I saw you looking at my clubs. Did you see the fastback plating on the Callaway? Right. You know what that's for? That's for speed. Let me break it down. As Claude is trying to putt.
Right. And I was just trying to think. He takes extra long to wipe the clubs down now after we hole out.
Right.
I'm sitting in the cart, and he's taking his time wiping the clubs down.
Every little nook and cranny.
And I'm like, why? I'm like, oh, you know what? It's a new
club.
Right.
And then I noticed the new bag that he had.
Right.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
No new shoes, though.
I got a new bag. I got a new bag this year, but again, he does not have new shoes. Yeah. I got a new bag, but I got that bag from Vern. Right? Uh-huh. LB's got a new bag. He got that bag from Vern.
Yeah, sure did.
Rick, who routinely would do things, even, play certain rounds at night, being economical, and I get, of course, I get it. That's cool. Bought a new bag.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. An expensive new bag.
New bag.
And it's so a nice bag, too.
And it's a very nice bag.
It is.
So I think in his excitement of buying new things golf, he reverted back to being a beginner and mm-hmm. bought something totally useless.
Something that he didn't need.
Because he wanted right. something new.
Right.
This is the first season in a long time that That's he had.
True. The something new. He spent some money.
Exactly.
Should have bought a new putter.
Yeah.
Does he not have a new putter?
No.
Is that a new one?
I don't know. Does he have a new putter? He might have a new putter. Yeah, he might have a new putter than the old gold. Yeah.
But you were just saying that his putter wasn't working.
Yeah, he was missing a lot of putts.
Yeah. He never could putt though. That was a strong putt.
Yeah,
the strong
guy,
strong part of his game. So the boss golfs on Instagram said he had a buddy that broke out a ball retriever one time, and they talked trash to him the whole day. And he said he never brought it out again.
That's right. That's right.
That's what we do around here. We shame you into acting like you've been there before.
And our workout said, "Who is that lazy?"
Nice. That's funny. So good. The whole Golf DMV Instagram community came for Rick McCormick. No, but we love Rick. Yeah, I mean, he's my boy. Yeah, but it's funny.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's why your friends are there to punish you.
Exactly. It's our way of making sure you don't make the same mistakes.
That's right. Exactly. Don't do it again.
So when you go to Target and you see that little contraption that helps you mark your ball, don't buy it.
Yeah,
right?
Don't.
I want to see you walking around with like the half plastic ball thing with three holes in it and a line so you can precisely
mark
your
ball. It makes a star. See? It's like a little template.
Right. Whose ball is that? Oh, well, let me see if it's mine. It's the one with the star on it because look at my utensil that I purchased with the three-quarters marker. Not even a full Sharpie, but a little small three-quarters marker that I put on the keychain thing here in my bag. Yeah, so don't do that, man. Yeah. Anyway, LB's really excited about this Kevin Na story.
Oh, Kevin Na, yes.
Let's add him to the pimp list. Why should we...
Yeah, so remember back when Rory...
There's a pimp list.
Well, I keep a pimp list.
Okay. Rory is on that
Rory's
list.
Rory's on my pimp list because he told that chick
Caroline
that...
Wozniak.
Yeah, he's like, nah, I'm not marrying you.
Right.
And I'm done with you. So Kevin had another similar type story. So it's a very long story, but I'm going to cut... I'm going to cut it down. I'm going to cut it down quite a bit.
Okay.
So after Kevin won the other day, it was a couple weeks ago when he won... you know, he was really emotional when they were interviewing, he was really emotional about some stuff that had been going on in his life that apparently we didn't know, we being in the United States. It was mostly over in Korea.
Okay.
It was going on behind the scenes over there. A lot of people talking smack about him over there. So this is why they were talking smack. So I'm gonna skip a lot of the article. It says, he says, I haven't wanted to talk about this, but it's been bothering me for quite some time. Now I told Ship Nook, that's the guy who he interviewed, Ship Nook. There have been too many rumors and false statements, and it's been very hurtful. Now I have a family, and I feel I need to protect them and my name.
Okay,
here we go. Okay, the drama centers around an engagement that Na broke off in 2014. Na and his former fiance met through a matchmaker in 2013 and were engaged by the end of the year. A month before their would-be November 2014 marriage, Na broke off the engagement.
Okay.
Now it gets fun. Okay.
Okay.
Meeting with his former fiance and her family in October 2014 ahead of the Korean Open, Na believed it was a respectful way to formally end the engagement. Joining her fiance's family was his attorney. I can't say his first name. I'm just going to say his last name is Lee.
Okay.
Who was introduced as an uncle.
Oh, no.
So he took his lawyer and introduced his lawyer as an uncle.
He's my uncle.
Right.
You can call him Mr. Lee.
Right.
Esquire.
He says, the meeting quickly turned. Her dad told me, this is not saying, her dad told me, if you don't change your mind and marry my daughter, I'm coming after you.
Wow. Oh, wow.
That's what her father said.
That sounds like a threat.
Yes. He did not change his mind. And a few days later, he was greeted at the Korean Open by the mother of his former fiance holding an inflammatory sign that read, American golfer Na, give back my daughter's life as cleanly as you sent her stuff back.
Dang.
And so
sure if I know what that means, but she went for him.
Yeah. So
like, I don't know what you think you're saying.
Yeah, very,
like,
very wordy put down.
Exactly.
But, yeah. So we'll work on it.
But there's a picture of this lady standing outside the tournament
with that sign.
And she's got She's like got a jacket on. She got a hat on,
right.
And she got like a mask or a handkerchief or something covering her nose, so you can't really see. All you can kind of see is her eyes, and she's holding up this big sign, but it's in Korean, so I don't know what it says.
Right.
But the picture's hilarious.
Just one person, too.
Just one person. Just her standing with this
with the
sign.
Mask on. Like,
right.
Come on, knock it off. We know who you are.
So
Kevin Nas, fiance's mom.
Right.
Get out of here.
It gets worse. So Nas ex fiance filed a lawsuit that included scandalous details of the couple's sex life and received titillating coverage in the Korean tabloids.
Oh, no.
She revealed this? She's saying that he did?
No. This was she filed a lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
And included details about their sex life.
Oh.
The lawsuit centered around his ex-fiance making 3 long-term visits to stay with Nas in Las Vegas during their engagement, which a judge deemed to be enough to consider her Nas' common-law wife.
No.
And entitled her to $400,000 of Nas' earning.
Oh.
Now, hold on now.
Yeah. But if you're Kevin Nah, and I got to see his career earnings,
yeah.
$400K might be enough to make this whole thing stop. Like, you know what? Here,
right.
you got to get out of my life.
So keeps going. So Nah paid roughly half of that, according to golf.com, mostly for the cost of the called off wedding and the ex-fiance's airfare to and from Las Vegas. He then countersued her for defamation of character.
For $200,000.
The proceedings took years to resolve, but eventually Nah was vindicated.
Oh, nice.
So this is Nah talking now. Not only did I win my suit, but she has to pay me close to $50,000 when a typical ruling in defamation lawsuit is only a few hundred dollars, Nah said. I think that shows the judge agreed how damaging the statements were. So, so it goes back and forth and stuff. But he's married. He's got a couple kids and everything is good. But I thought it was funny how they suing each other. And the father was like, nah, you going to marry my daughter. Oh, I'm going to
bring
something to you. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Nah, going to get this D. Nah.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy, though. I mean, with the story about the mom just showing up.
Right. Yeah.
The handkerchief over her face and the side.
I got to find that picture. It was just the picture alone was funny enough for me.
Almost didn't make it through that
story. Any guy that can, that figures out at some point before he says I do that this is not the right one,
right.
I applaud them.
Yeah. We got to get Kevin Nah some Grime Time friends. When he comes to me and says, all right, I know what I'm going to do. I got this lawyer that looks nothing like me, but I'm going to tell him he's my uncle.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, fall right into the trap.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Now, why would his lawyer even advise him to?
Right, so yeah, this is a good idea.
Like, we shouldn't do anything around a family. Yeah, we should break this off. You guys break it off. Yeah. And then if it goes to, you know, legal stuff, then bring me in.
I think maybe it's their culture, though.
You have to formally
do everything very efficiently.
Right. And even the thing said they were introduced by a matchmaker, and I wondered if that arranged, when it's kind of arranged marriage, was that like match.com? What are we talking about when he says a matchmaker?
He's probably cool with it, but then he started winning tournaments, getting money. He was like, hey, I got an option now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he clearly didn't have an issue at times when he was flying around to Las Vegas to stay for a while. So I mean, at some point
So he's okay. I added him to my pimp list. Him and McElroy now on my pimp list.
And the only thing you got to do to make that list, folks, is to break off an engagement.
Yeah.
That's literally
do something semi scandalous with some women. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So I should put Dusty Johnson should be on my
page. Hey, he's on there.
Yeah, he definitely.
He is the list. He's on a whole different list all by itself.
He's holding the list.
Yeah. Roy McElroy and Kevin Nah don't even deserve to be on the same list as DJ. There's only two people on that list: DJ and Tiger.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So Max Homa. PGA Tour player, 28 years old. I saw this great story in Golf Digest where they interviewed him. In 2017, he lost his PGA card. He only made 2 cuts in 17 starts. He regained his tour card in 2019 by winning the Wells Fargo. He regained it in 2019, and he won the Wells Fargo in May. And he said a couple of things that stood out to me in this article, mostly about getting this game together. He said, I was playing terrible and I wanted to take a little bit of time to review everything about my game and really kind of go at it. But he said, and so he had a whole section about just things he did in his practice routines and in driving range sessions and stuff like that to get better. But he says, but before, if you need help with your game, you know, he said, before you read this stuff, I want you to understand one thing. He said, put the scorecard away before making any major changes. If you're still in season mode and your handicap matters, you're going to struggle to commit to anything that feels good or looks different than what you're currently doing. You need time to adjust, but patience pays off. And he was saying, you know, that if you're really going to adjust your game, don't care about the scorecard anymore.
Right.
If you're really going to try to improve, he said, because if you're playing right now and your game is in a state of, you know, just tragedy at this point, don't worry about your score.
Right. Yeah.
Work on fixing the problems and put the scorecard down. And I just think about myself, about how many times I'm thinking, okay, I got to fix this, got to fix this, got to fix this. And the scorecard, what he's saying is, and I'm still checking the scorecard.
Right, you're still trying to play.
Right. My score means too much to me at this point for me to do anything to try to get better, because I won't stick to a long-term kind of situation to change anything. It's like, no, because at this point, if you still care about getting an 86 as opposed to a 93, you're missing the whole point.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The whole point, like we're talking about, is to play from the tips, shoot under 85.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It takes time to implement those changes.
Right, exactly. Right. And so if you're going to do some stuff now, put it down. Mm-hmm. He also talked about positive mindset. He said, I had to stop telling myself that I suck. You know? He said, when I play, I don't get mad anymore because I realize it's a waste of my energy. Anger will wear you out, and that's what changed the most this year, that he just stopped getting angry at himself. And so I thought that was really good insight from a tour player who, you know, got on tour, lost his card, fought hard to get back, and said, listen, you know, don't worry about the scorecard. Fix what you want, what you need to fix. That's why he took time away, because he had to just fix it.
Right.
And he did. And then he doesn't let his emotions get the best of him.
I think that's the perspective of somebody who, like, I feel like when you lose that tour card, you're going to make some wholesale changes really quickly.
Yeah.
Because now, it's different when you're like, oh, I'm doing okay and I'm just holding on. But when at the thought or the prospect of not being able to play professionally, when you get it back, it's probably a lot easier for you to appreciate that and to say, you know what, I'm not worried about the score. I'm going to implement these changes because they're working.
Right, absolutely. Speaking of practice and stuff like that, LB, I think you said Rodney sent this to you? This whole thing about the way pros practice versus amateurs. And it's kind of like a chart thing. We should find a way to put that on our Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that for people to see it.
Yeah, I could do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do this. So he got, it's come from our Louisville correspondent, Rodney Evans. He sent this to me. It was a Golf Digest article. He plagiarized, I guess, or whatever. So basically, it shows when I will post it at some point. I'll try and do it in the next few days. It basically shows how the pros practice and how we being amateurs, how we practice our shots. So let's say you have 50 balls and you go on your range time before your round. Think about this. How many balls do you hit on wedges? How many balls do you hit from the driver? How many balls are irons? That kind of thing. Just an example. So the pros might hit, out of 50 balls, the pros might hit 25 wedges.
Wow, so half their balls out of 50, half of their them balls are going to wedges.
Or wedges.
Short game.
And on the amateurs, we might hit 10. So it's a complete difference in how we practice compared to how they practice. We hit more drivers, they hit more irons. You know, we hit more mid irons, they hit more wedges. They're trying to score, we just trying to gouge and bomb. You know, and that's basically the big difference that I see in how this goes. We are trying to do a lot of, we're trying to hit long irons and drivers. And they're trying to get low with their scoring. They're practicing more with their scoring irons. We're practicing more with our long irons and driver.
Right. Closer to the hole, further from the hole.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's the gist of it. We talk about this all the time, because when I go to the range, I enjoy hitting wedges.
I was going to say, you spend a lot of time at that short game area at Blue Madison.
Right. And I guess because I enjoy it, and then I guess because I enjoy it, I got good at it. So now I enjoy it more because I'm good at it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Shows,
So that's one of the reasons why I go. And usually I go there because it's never crowded.
Because everybody else is at the driver range, including me, hitting the range.
And me.
Right. And there's nobody at the short game area. So you can usually get it by myself. And I like hitting. I like the one thing I think that I that I do like about the short game area and wedges is you do get the opportunity to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
With a driver, I mean, you can make a fade, you can make a draw. I mean, it's pretty much all you got.
Right.
You know what I mean? But wedge, you can hit flop shots, you can hit runners, you can hit pitch. You know what I mean? You can do all kinds of things with wedges.
You're trying to pinpoint it. You're trying to place that shot, get close to the hole.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
So, yeah, and there's a lot of, I don't know. I just enjoy wedges, so that's why I hit most of them. But obviously, well, I guess what you should take away from this little discussion is you need to hit more wedges.
Right, basically. Yeah, no, hit more wedges. Hit more wedge shots. Yeah,
because it doesn't really, you know, if you can hit your driver and you're in the rough or whatever, and you can get, if you can get inside 150, it doesn't matter if you can't get the, if you can get to 150 and then you're going to hit your wedge, you know, screwy,
mm-hmm.
what'd you accomplish?
How many times has that happened where we hit a crazy drive and we're like 120 away, mm-hmm. or we hit two great shots, we're just a little bit short of the green, right. mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, I'm 60 right. yards away.
Right.
How many times? All 10 years of my playing except this year.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I should be able to put this right on the green.
Right, and you blade it over the back.
Exactly.
Of the
in our group, or it was, chunk it, was, it, and you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah, in our group, it was a brown. That's what we mm-hmm. call it, brown. Yeah. I was out there basically looking like like when they called Clayton in the seventh and eighth inning.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So basically, so if you can imagine, yeah, I get up there and I hit this smoke drive, and in the past, uh-huh. it'd be like, oh, nice shot or whatever. And then when we pull up to the ball, you know, 50 yards from the hole, uh-huh. I can see everybody just kind of looking out the corner of the eye with the side eye, like, uh-huh. oh, well, yeah, good luck, man. See what you're going to do. And then chuck it. Oh,
yeah,
oh again. Oh, and he bladed the chip. Bro, I've been like 50, 60 yards out from the hole and made eights.
Yep.
Yeah. Wedges. Got to work on them. Wedges. Short game. Brant Snedeker said it. Go to the archive show when he talked about the TPC Potomac with Brant Snedeker. He talked about short game.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger memoirs.
Yeah. Yeah, Tiger is writing, well, I guess he's not really writing. He's probably dictating to somebody.
Yeah, somebody's.
But yeah, they have a, I was looking to see how much they was going to give it, but they didn't say. He's writing his memoirs, and it's going to be, you know, he talked about how, you know, everybody's been writing stuff about him his entire life.
Right.
Everybody's been writing stuff about him. And he was saying it's time for him to tell the actual truth. Because mm-hmm. everything has bits of some truth. Some stuff is not true, whatever. So he wants to set the record straight, I guess,
really?
And put it in his own words. He says, it's in my words and expressions. Huh? It's in my words and expresses, I'm sorry, my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It describes how I feel and what's happened in my life. I've been working at it steadily, and I'm looking forward to continuing the process and creating a book that people will want to read.
People will read it, Tiger, if you make it scandalous.
Right. Well, that's true. I'm not going to read it either way because that ain't what I do. I read articles. I don't read books.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank God it's good as you listen to podcasts. It's a Golf DMV on Federal News Network. See you next week.
Good night.